K-State Nation, this is another edition of the Purple Project Podcast, all things Kansas State sports. Eddie Greer coming to you from still Kansas City, Missouri on this Monday, January 22nd, 2024. And if it's your first time listening to the podcast, appreciate it for stopping by, giving us a listen, whether it's this afternoon, which I will post it up, or this evening, or tomorrow, or whenever, on the Pro Project Podcast, all things K-State sports. And I've teased it, and I'll still tease it, a big announcement now will be coming sometime this week on one of these episodes of the podcast, so stay tuned there. That, with excitement there, so definitely the pieces of the puzzle are coming together as I speak right now on this mid-Monday morning in foggy, rainy, whatever you want to call it, Kansas City, Missouri. If you're a K-State fan living in Kansas, in the Kansas City area, I'm gonna have to get used to saying that. But get excited. I already know that I know John Kurtz. I haven't met Cole Manbeck in person, but I've heard him, I've seen him as well. You guys are going to be getting some more activity pretty soon. I'll maybe be making that announcement here, even though I kind of already somewhat teased it just a moment there. So definitely I wanted to get that across there. So stay tuned. If you're not subscribed to Pro Project Podcast, what are you waiting on? The Pro Project Podcast, all things K-State. It's a big episode here on the podcast here. We're going to get right on into it here. I'll take it to the top of the hour here on the podcast here, because I got a couple of things that need to get taken care of here to finish up. But finishing up, the men's basketball team, holy smokes. We talked about that on, I think, Friday's episode of the podcast. If you missed out on any of the episodes last week, I encourage you to find those on the Pearl Project podcast feed. And I talked about the pod being the bonus channel. I haven't had a chance to sit down because I'm working on taking care of some other things that are important first on the list, things to do list on my end. And I'll eventually get around to it, but that'll be the bonus edition. I know we've recorded quite a bit of episodes on, really good episodes on that channel. So when I do get settled in, I'll finally start uploading those one at a time there as well. And of course, don't forget about Alex Aiden on there. We're going to be, let's see, depending on the schedule here, hopefully get one more bonus episode in here this week as I'm looking at things right now. So definitely he's the co-host of the podcast, so appreciate y'all. So definitely I'm going to continue to roll out content on the main channel, off of Audio Boom, of course. It comes off of iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts there. And then make sure you go to the Podbean, look for Purple Project Podcast. If you don't, oh, I know there's two of them, because there's one with the actual one. That's us with the Purple Project Podcast headset. And then there's the Eddie Greer channel. That's where you're going to find the bonus content at. Eddiegreer. Type that in there. You should find another Purple Project Podcast. That is me right there. Eddiegreer. To finish up the men's basketball team, once again, playing down to its competition. Again, no offense to Oklahoma State, but Oklahoma State, we were in trouble there for a long while there. And this has been a staple of this men's basketball team. They digging themselves out of a hole and get it done there. They were done. They were, this thing was 90 seconds away from being a bad loss. Like Alex talked about in the recent bonus episode of the Pro Project Podcast, but Cam Carter woke up, scored the last 4 minutes with a huge layup, less than 30 seconds left, to put the clamps on Oklahoma State, 70-66. Holy smokes there, in a game which K-State did not lead until that point of the game. How many times have we seen it from this men's basketball team this year? This was too close, the call, but more importantly, win's a win. You avoid the dreaded loss for now on the resume. You go to 4-1 in the Big 12, advance to 14-4 there. So Arthur Kaluma had a huge game on Saturday. Let's see. Yeah, Kaluma. Let me go to the box score here. Yeah, but a K-State D locked in on Oklahoma State here in this basketball game. Oklahoma State led at halftime by 4 in this basketball game. And for Oklahoma State, Eric Daly Jr. scored 15. For them, Kaluma, going back to him real quick, 23 points on the evening, 3 of 5 from downtown, 7 of 12 from the field. Yeah, Cam Carter was held to under double digits for majority of the game until late heroics late. Cam added 15. Will McNair, 10 points, 10 more. 5 rebounds for him. And another so-so. Look, I get it. Tyler Perry, 9 points, 2 of 6 from the field, only 1 of 4 from downtown. And look, there's some people that are sticking up for Tyler Perry on social media that I've seen. But look, the play it's got to be better. I've said it all along. Look, I call it what it is. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. I'm just not going to do that. So they need more point guard play there as well. Your big three, obviously. And you might well put McNair, know how to score the basketball. So absolutely there. Let's see. Gasan, only 5 points in this game. Yeah, he avoided foul trouble, getting that fifth foul in this game. Danny Ainge, the return of him. He only scored 4 points in this game, but he made a return back to K-State there. Jones with 2. Colbert added 2 points there as well. Finisher and Manning also played in his basketball game there. So, wow. And this probably should not come as a surprise there, but we've seen it. Most of the heroics for K-State men's basketball come at Bramers Coliseum, and it did again on Saturday night. This is the Pearl Project Podcast, all things K-State here. And Jerome Tang, we're going to focus on the winning ugly part in his post-game presser here from over the weekend, quote, by winning ugly from Coach Tang from his press conference from last Saturday night. Well, I like the fact that we embrace winning. I've never really seen an ugly win. I've seen a lot of ugly losses, right? And in this league, man, all you have to do is figure out how to way to win. We have a team, and we have an all honest, and we're all honest with ourselves. We look at our roster and stuff. We don't have a team that you think we're going to go out there and score 90, and it's going to look pretty well. We have to make it. Like games like this where we get 10 steals, that's just what has to happen. Human nature takes over in situations like this where our guys, even as much as we tell them, and we show them, and they look at the record and all of that, and it all plays into it. So I'm just thankful for winning, and we'll figure out how to make it look cute some other time. But right now, let's just keep winning, end quote. And that's pretty much spot on right there. In the Nakhon games, they were ugly. So, and even maybe, yeah, you gotta find a way, excuse me, to win games. So, win to win there as well. So, K-State, and let's go ahead and take a look here before we switch off. I know we talked about the women some over the weekend during K-State Saturday here. Let's see what we can come up with here. There we go. So now, as we look at the updated standings now, coming into this week here, we have now the two teams up top. K-State, despite all that, sitting on top. Well, not on top. Tied for the league lead. KU losing to West Virginia over the weekend. So Texas Tech, K-State. Oh, boy, how did one point change things when those two teams met 2 weekends ago, right? K-State should have won that game. Now, you're tied up, locked up, for the top spot going into this week. Houston, KU, Oklahoma, Baylor, Iowa State. That is a five-way tie right now for the run-up spot. There, BYU, TCU, Texas getting back on their winning ways there. They're all UCF, West Virginia, everybody seeming a logjam. Poor-ass Oklahoma State still ain't won. And that would have been a huge black eye if K-State would have let Oklahoma State come in here or come over there to Bramlage and get a win on your home floor. That would have been ugly there to say the least. We'll just call it what it is there as well. So big, big win there for K-State. And now if I can switch it over to who they have next here. And let's see if I want to pull out anything else from here. Yeah, K-State. Four straight games at home, 10-1 at Bramlage this year. I believe that's this year. Jerome Tang, another one at home. So keeps that on tap here. And now you have to challenge now. Win tonight, because the ladies actually play tonight here. So everything kind of switches a little bit here. So the men will play on Wednesday night in Ames, taking on 14, same record. But 3-2 for Iowa State in conference play. We know how Ames is. 8 o'clock, prime time. ESPN2 will have the game. So I should be able to catch the second half of this basketball game in all purposes there as well. So another big game. So it don't stop in the Big 12 there. Iowa State tied for second place right now, as far as I see it. Right now, K-State now sitting on tied with Texas Tech on tied for the Big 12 lead. How about that? The Pearl Project Podcast, all things Kansas State sports. Eddie Greer recording this from Kansas City, Missouri. And kind of to finish on the women here, they answered the bell with probably one of the bigger crowds in a long-ass time at Bramlage for a women's basketball game. And why not come against KU, beating them by 11, 69-58. There, 9,600 plus showed up. We're going to show out K-State Nation for this team. And this, without Ayoka Lee, and they're going to be out without her for at least 3.5 weeks there. This is the first game without their star player, Eliza Maupin, stepped up, showed out, perfect from the field, 8 points. Zyana Walker, and I mentioned, I didn't know how many points Zyana Walker had made because I didn't have, the chart did not show her up there, but Serena Sundell and Sina Walker, 15 apiece on KU each there to seal the deal right there for them. Let's see here. Yeah, no. Wait, hold on. Yeah, they held Tyana Jackson just 2 points. I said, looking at her stats, that's really odd. She might have left with an injury. Now, I don't know about that because she's usually much of a factor than that. But, yeah, but great job by this team there. Really, this was a close game from here on. And then, of course, yeah, K-State with a huge first quarter there. KU bounced back there. And then from there, K-State just rolled that crowd all the way there. For the win there, let's see, K-State here. K-State shot 40% from the field, but only 31% from downtown from the free throw line. 78 points, Grabby Gregory, who had no points in the first half, I don't think. Only had 4 points, so you win. No Ayoka Lee and Grabby Gregory that didn't even find the bucket. 0-8 from the field, over 4 from downtown. They got something. They got some cooking right now. And you get in a Zyana Walker, who's been very consistent all year long for this team, that Energizer Bunny for this team, 15. She is a consistent 10 to 15 a night off the bench. So, like a Tyler Perrin, I hate to put her in this. Look, Gabby Greger was tremendous last year. And she's had her ups and downs this year for a fact, but she's been other ways to get involved in the offense there. But, hey, Serena Sundell, who played late last year and continues to really shine this year for this team. So, like I said, anybody can hurt you. And Monty Lester, Terrence Ives also saw the floor. Casella Sanchez, who added four as well at the bench. As well, I would have figured Sanchez would have started, but instead, you give the nod to Eliza Maupin. She stepped up. You get additional bonus points. You get additional bonus points there from her. That's saying something right there. You say the least there. So, K-State, they stay on top. They stay unbeaten. And they play Baylor tonight. We're going to go right to that matchup here on the podcast here. Let's see. I had it for a moment. Let's see. Yeah, this is going to be a national televised game here tonight. K-State, 18-1, undefeated in the Big 12 against 12th-ranked Baylor. Top 15 matchup, 15-2 Baylor, 4-2 in the conference tonight. Yep, this is a road game. So this is a road game for the Lady Cats tonight there. Cats, 18-1 for the first time since the 08-09 season. And if K-State can get past Baylor tonight, it'll be the first time ever they'll reach the 19-1 mark for the first time in K-State school history. Can they do it? We'll have to find out here tonight. And that's a national televised game, K-State Nation. Stay tuned, K-State Nation. FS1 will have it. Ron Thurland will be play-by-play, and Nancy Lieberman will call this game there. K-State has one of the best defenses in the nation. We have said it. Scoring defense. Just a tad over 50 a game. Woo-hoo-hoo! Boy, oh boy, man. That's something. And K-State's on a 12th-game winning streak right now as well. Looking to stretch it to 13 tonight. They got a challenge ahead of them against that Baylor team. They're still good. But under a different head coach. So we'll see what happens tonight as well. And we'll definitely have a postcast of this basketball game at some point. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, the challenge for them, can they go on the road and get that? And can they bring the Maupin, the production? Can they bring that to Baylor? Well, we'll see what happens. Can Gabby Gregory, somewhat taking a page from the men a little bit here. They need Gabby Gregory. they need the Gabby Gregory of last year to come out there and try and score. Score something, right? So we'll see what happens there as well. But Serena Sundell, the way she has played all year long to this point, look, a quick stat on her that I wrote down before this podcast recording still. She's the only player in the Big 12 right now, up to tonight, 15 plus points, over five rebounds, five assists, and three blocks and three steals in a game. She's covered it all this season. 15 points a game, or over five rebounds, over five assists, over three blocks, over three steals, over in a game. Holy smokes, there as well. And then, of course, you have a trio, Ayoka Lee included, and Gabby Gregory and Serena Sundell, over 2,000 plus points, 15 plus points, and you have Serena Sundell over that as well. So, and of course, Serena Sundell is approaching the top five mark in assists as well. Man, she is stuffing the stat sheet every night, and they're going to need that more. They're going to need that some more. So, I don't question it at all whatsoever. So, man, yeah, so we'll see what happens tonight. Again, this podcast will go up much more for that there as well. So tonight, 7:30 tip. Yeah, I didn't mention that. So 7:30 tip, down south, Baylor country, Waco, Texas, going down a top 15 matchup, number 7 K-State. And I haven't checked the latest rankings right now, but that's, at least to this point, that's where K-State is. If they can get a win on the road in Baylor, they'll sit on high with that 19 and run. I'm not going to try to jinx it. We're going to see what happens tonight against 13th-ranked Baylor, or 12th-ranked Baylor, whatever you want to put it. down in Waco, Texas. Eddie Greer, we're closing in on the end of this podcast. This is the Purple Project Podcast, all things Kansas State sports. Here in a quick note on the football field, Daniel Green declared for the NFL draft, as we probably should have already known by now. But unfortunately, he made a tweet. He tweeted out earlier this morning his statement, and then he is going to the NFL draft there as well. So congratulations there. We would have saw him play a lot more at K-State. He's been injury prone, unfortunately, there, but he's made an impact on K-State so much there as well. So kudos to Dan Green for his time here at K-State. Now he's going to take his talents. Hopefully he can stay. Main thing for him, I'm worried about it, about his draft stock because of the injuries. We all know how that goes because, you know, if you injured more, teams tend to avoid that way. And I hate that for him. So, best wishes to Deuce Green there as he embarks, gets ready for the NFL draft there as well. And we're in this episode here, this Monday episode here, going to the indoor track where K-State over the weekend did some work down in Lubbock, Texas, there at the Sports Performance Complex in Lubbock, Texas there. Finished up on the track side, actually. So yeah, we talked about a lot the field events the last two times on this podcast. Now we're going to take it to the track here, obviously, here as 11 Wildcats recorded new personal best, 8 more finishing the top 5 in their respective events there. We're going to go right down the line here as Isaac Atuvi improved his furthest long jump by 5 inches there, finished in 8th place. Shalom Otulu was 3rd. Shot putters. Actually, we're all going to look at the field events again. Daisy Money Jr. finished 3rd. Grace Thompson finished 5th. And JC Schroeder finished 7th there in the respective shot put there. And now we hit the track, right? 60-minute hurdles. Sophomore Jordan Edwards finished 9th with an 8.4 run. And Vanessa Merceta finished 20th. Others, you're right, Beckett Skate. Well, that's a familiar name that we've called on this podcast before. Only 21st. Delaney Wright, a sophomore, finished 23rd. Actually, we're staying with the women here with the fastest mile run belongs to cross-country runner Josephine Ronjou. Run-up finish with a 4:49 in the mile. That's getting it. That's hauling ass right there. So congratulations for Josephine. Josephine, remember, if you take it way back to last semester, won one of the cross-country meets for K-State. So she put down a hot time right there. So that's good for just Josephine. Now flipping it to the men's side, you have junior Matthew Hauser finished runner-up with a 4:13 mile there as well. That was one of the faster miles there. Grace Meyer back to the women, 7th with a 4:59. Cecile Fisher cracks 5 minutes with a 4:59.99. Tommy Hazen finished 4th. with a 4:14 mile. Callahan Stewart, the senior duo, Callahan Stewart and Kirby Debitbush, women and men, respectively. Callahan Stewart only finished just outside of the top 10 with a 5:02 mile. And a Kirby Debitbush was in 7th place with a solid time, though, of 4:23 there as well. Also, Matthew Hauser competed in the 300 meters as well with a 3rd place finish of 8 minutes and 49 seconds. Will Carroll, 5th, and it was came in 5th in the 800, minute 53. Kyle Johnston finished in the 1,000 meters in 5th place there with a 2:30. And then Hannah Stewart, 5th in the mile at 4:56 there as well. Here coming to the end here, let's go down the line here some more here in the relay. Actually, Paige Baker PR in her race in the 3,000 meters, 10:30 there as well. In the women's relay 4x4, the A team coming in 9th place there with a 3:43 of Chauncey Johnson, Vanessa Merceta, Delaney Wright, and Jordan Edwards. B team finished 17th, and the C team for the women finished 19th. Men relay, the A team, led by Eugene Omala, Kyle Gale, Jamie Omama, and Tyvon Underwood, coming home in the run-up spot. They were a 3:05. That's close to a PR for them. Congratulations on it. In their B team with Darian Clark, Kyle Johnson, Alex Gutierrez, Will Carroll, 3:23. And actually, let me back that up to that A team there. That's a school record. That is a school record. Hell yeah, school record for the Mets 4x4. How about that? So congratulations, 3:05, putting it down. Down there in Lubbock, Texas, down there for the K-State Mets 4x4. So congratulations on that front. And we're going to end it smack right on that note, folks. So congratulations to the Mets 4x4 for getting a school record over the weekend down there in Lubbock, Texas. So we covered it all here on this episode here. Now, after this, if anything pops, we'll definitely cover it on tomorrow's episode, the Pearl Prop, which includes the postcast of the 7th-ranked women's taking on Baylor on the road later on this evening. The Pearl Project Podcast, all things K-State, and get it. Remember, podcasts are found. We are free and available 4 or 5 times a week. Whenever we do post, record content here, big news coming up this week, at some point, it'll be announced on this podcast. So if you're not subscribed to the Pearl Project Podcast, especially if you're a K-State fan in Kansas City, Missouri, might want to get on that right now. And of course, we have our bonus channel. I'll have that going at some point. I don't know when that is, but we're recording episodes on that. Myself and Alex Aiden out there in San Diego, California, with bonus content. We will get together and record another episode at some point this week. So when I do have that situated, that will be available for you guys to listen to. And we got episodes. We got episodes from back from last semester that have not been posted. So that's kind of my fault on that. But we are getting the ball rolling. The pieces of the puzzle are finally coming together. Exciting times for yours truly here in Kansas City, Missouri. But we're going to wave the checkered flag on this episode of the Pearl Project Podcast. All things K-State here. K-State, Baylor on the women's side tonight. Men got to travel to Ames, Iowa later on in the week for that midweek showdown with Iowa State. So looking forward to seeing how that shakes out on the basketball side. So we're definitely getting back to all things K-State, track and field, indoor track and field, getting some things accomplished over the weekend. And it's coming soon, Kansas State baseball in another month. But right now, it's going to close shop here for now. Appreciate y'all for listening to this Monday episode here in KC on the 22nd of January, 2024. Eddie Greer here in again, I got to get you saying Kansas City, Missouri. Alex Aiden out there in San Diego, California. This has been another edition of the Purple Project Podcast. We will talk to y'all tomorrow. Go Cats.